We talk a lot about government spending, at the federal level, but what about closer to home? What about our local tax dollars? Today, we're going to do a deep dive into the financial health and operations of Pottawatomie County, Oklahoma.
Yeah, we often hear about those big federal projects and budgets, but sometimes it's easy to forget about the impact of spending right here in our own communities.
Right. And for this deep dive, we're going way beyond just headlines and sound bites. We've actually dug into years of state audit reports for Pottawatomie County covering 2018 all the way through 2023.
These audit reports are fascinating. They really give you a detailed look at how the county manages its money and whether they're following all the rules and regulations.
Exactly. We're talking about the actual financial statements, the notes on their accounting practices, and something I think is really important, the auditor's findings and the county's responses to those findings, so we can see where things are running smoothly and maybe where there have been a few bumps in the road.
Yeah, it's about transparency and accountability, and hopefully it gives folks a shortcut to understanding how things work at the county level and what they need to be paying attention to.
So let's start with the basics. What kind of financial picture do these reports paint of Pottawatomie County?
Well, one thing that's consistent throughout all these reports is the way Pottawatomie County does its accounting. They follow something called a regulatory basis of accounting, which is required by Oklahoma state law.
And that's different from what you might see with a private business or even at the federal level.
Right. It's a little different from what's known as generally accepted accounting principles, or GAAP. And in fact, in the 2020 report, the auditors actually issued something called an adverse opinion on the GAAP basis.
Now, hold on. An adverse opinion, that sounds kind of serious. What does that mean exactly?
It sounds scary, but it's not necessarily an indication of wrongdoing. In this case, it basically means that because Pottawatomie County is following this state-specific regulatory basis of accounting, their financials might not give you the same picture as if they were using GAAP.
Oh, I see. So it's not that they're doing anything wrong, they're just playing by a different set of rules.
Exactly. And those rules are set by the state of Oklahoma, so they are in compliance with state law. It's just important to keep that in mind when you're looking at their financial statements.
Gotcha. Okay, so different rules for different levels of government. Now, when we look at how the county actually organizes its money, we see they have a whole bunch of different funds, right?
Oh, yeah, it's quite a list. And they're all laid out in detail in the Summary of Significant Accounting Policies section of each report. You've got your basic general fund, which handles day-to-day operations, and then you have separate funds dedicated to things like the highway department, the health department, and then a whole bunch of sales tax funds that are specifically earmarked for certain things.
So it's not like all the money just gets thrown into one giant pot.
Nope, it's all very carefully separated and accounted for. When you pay sales tax in Pottawatomie County, a portion of that goes into these specific funds that can only be used for their designated purpose.
So like a portion might go to the fire department, another portion to emergency services, another portion to support local school districts, and so on.
Precisely, you'll see funds for things like economic development, even
Yeah.
the jail, the OSU Extension Center, soil conservation, the Free Fair Senior Citizen programs, public safety initiatives, all sorts of things. It's really interesting to see how they break it all down.
It is, and it gives you a much better sense of where your tax dollars are actually going. I did notice, though, that even though they keep track of all these separate fund balances on paper, they actually pool all the cash together for banking purposes.
Yeah, that's a pretty common practice for governments. It just makes their banking operations a lot simpler. They might have one big bank account, but they have meticulous records showing how much of that money belongs to each specific fund.
And I'm assuming there are rules in place to protect those deposits,
Yeah.
right?
Oh, absolutely. Any bank holding the county's money has to provide collateral in the form of securities to cover those deposits, minus whatever amount is insured by the FDIC.
Right, the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, that's what protects regular folks' bank accounts too. So there are definitely safeguards in place there. Now, when it comes to actually investing any of this money, it seems like the county's options are pretty limited.
That's right. They're generally restricted to very safe and conservative investments, like non-negotiable certificates of deposit. And those investments have to be backed by either the U.S. government or the state of Oklahoma, or they have to be fully collateralized or insured.
So basically, they're not gambling with taxpayer money. They're keeping it in very low-risk investments.
Exactly. Safety and security are the top priorities when it comes to investing public funds.
Okay, let's talk about a major source of revenue for the county sales tax. It looks like voters approved a permanent 1% sales tax back in 2008, which went into effect in the summer of 2013. And again, it's not like this money can be used for just anything.
Right, that 1% sales tax is specifically dedicated to certain things. And if we look at the notes in the 2018 and 2023 reports, we see a consistent list of who benefits from this tax. You've got the County General Fund, the Highway Department, the Health Department, the Pottawatomie County Fire Department, and then a whole bunch of local school districts.
So basically, the voters kind of laid out a financial plan for how they wanted this extra 1% to be spent.
Pretty much. And over the years, we looked at, there haven't been any huge changes in how that sales tax is allocated. It's remained fairly consistent.
So no major new sales taxes or big shifts in priorities during that time period?
Not that we saw. Now, the audit reports do mention something called interfund transfers, which is basically money moving from one county fund to another.
And why would they do that?
There are all sorts of reasons why you might have an interfund transfer. Sometimes it's to fund a specific project, or maybe to close out an old fund, or even to correct a past accounting error. For example, in 2019, they closed down the sheriff part-time fund and the district attorney use tax fund and transferred that money into other relevant funds.
So kind of like consolidating accounts.
In way.
Yeah.
And there was also a big transfer into the courthouse capital improvements fund back in 2019, which seems to have been related to the Pottawatomie South Annex building. So that gives you a sense of some of the projects they were focusing on.
And even in the most recent report, the 2023 one, there was a small transfer from the individual redemption fund over to the general fund.
Right. The individual redemption fund is interesting. It holds money for things like old uncashed checks. So it's like finding some lost treasure and putting it back into the general fund.
I like the way you think. All right, let's move on to how the county manages its spending through budgeting. It sounds like not every fund has to go through the same rigorous budgeting process.
That's true. According to Oklahoma law, only the general fund and the county health department fund are actually required to adopt formal budgets.
So what does that process look like for those two funds?
It's a pretty standard process.
Mm.
Each county department head has to submit their proposed budget to the Board of County Commissioners, and then those budgets are reviewed and approved at the fund level, broken down by specific office or department and by category of expense.
So it's all very carefully laid out?
Yes. And if they need to make adjustments to those categories during the year, the county commissioners can usually approve those changes. But if they want to actually change the total budget for one of those funds, that requires approval from the county excise board.
Ah, so there's an extra layer of oversight there.
Exactly. Now, the reports also mention something called encumbrance accounting, which is used in some funds.
Encumbrance accounting? What is that?
It's basically a way of earmarking money as soon as the county commits to spending it. So if they issue a purchase order or sign a contract, they encumber those funds to make sure they're still available when the bill actually comes due.
Oh, I see. So it's like putting a temporary hold on that money so they don't accidentally spend it on something else.
Precisely. And at the end of the fiscal year, any money that was budgeted but not actually encumbered goes back into the fund balance.
So it doesn't automatically roll over to the next year. They have to start fresh with their budgeting.
Correct. Now, the audit reports also include these comparative schedules for the general fund and the health fund, showing the budgeted amounts versus the actual amounts spent. And these are really useful for spotting any big discrepancies.
And we're talking about the 2020, 2021, and 2023 reports here.
Right. And while we don't have the specific numbers in front of us, these schedules are definitely something that county officials would be paying close attention to. You know, if there's a big difference between what they plan to spend and what they actually spent, that needs to be investigated and explained.
Makes sense. Okay, let's dive into an area that often raises concerns: internal control deficiencies. The audit reports consistently point to a lack of countywide controls, and that sounds pretty fundamental.
It is a recurring issue, and it's actually been a concern for quite a while. It was finding number 2018-001, 2001, 2001, and 2023-001. So they haven't really made much progress on this.
And what's the crux of the problem here?
Basically, the county hasn't established formal documented processes for things like risk assessment and monitoring at a countywide level.
Okay, so break that down for me. What does that actually mean in terms of how the county operates?
Risk assessment is all about identifying potential problems before they blow up into something major. And monitoring is about regularly checking to see if your existing controls are working effectively. So without these countywide procedures in place, there's a greater risk that financial issues could slip through the cracks or that small problems could snowball into big ones.
I see. And the auditors have been recommending that they fix this for years.
Yes, they've repeatedly recommended that the county develop written policies and procedures that cover all departments and that they establish a system for monitoring those policies to make sure they're actually working as intended.
So it's not just about having policies on paper. It's about making sure they're actually being followed and that they're effective.
Exactly. Now, another thing that keeps popping up is the lack of written disaster recovery plans in certain county offices.
Disaster recovery plans? That sounds pretty important.
It is. We're talking about things like natural disasters, cyber attacks, any major disruption that could impact their ability to function. The commissioner districts, the sheriff, the assessor, and the clerk have all been called out for not having these plans in place.
So if something were to happen that knocked out their systems or their facilities, they wouldn't necessarily have a clear plan for getting back up and running.
Right. And that could have a significant impact on the county's ability to provide essential services to residents. They need to have these plans in place, and they need to be well tested.
Now, the reports also include a pretty detailed definition of internal control based on GAO standards. What does that entail?
The GAO, the Government Accountability Office, they're kind of the watchdog for the federal government, and they have these standards for what good internal control looks like. It's basically a process designed to provide reasonable assurance that an organization will achieve its objectives.
And those objectives would be things like accurate financial reporting, efficient operations, compliance with laws and regulations.
Exactly. And the GAO standards emphasize key principles, like having a strong control environment, meaning a culture of ethical behavior and accountability. Then there's risk assessment control activities, information and communication and monitoring activities.
So it's really a comprehensive approach to making sure things are done right.
Right. And when the audit finds a lack of countywide controls, it's basically saying that they're falling short in several of these key areas.
Okay, so it's not just about one specific problem. It's about having a well-structured system in place. Let's move on to compliance matters, which is where we really see if the county is following all the rules.
Right. And there were definitely some instances where the county wasn't in full compliance. In the 2018 report, there's mention of non-compliance related to a material weakness in internal control, though the details are kind of vague. But the later reports give us more specific examples.
Yeah, the 2021 and 2023 reports both have findings related to federal awards, specifically the Coronavirus Relief Fund.
Yeah, those findings point to a lack of adequate internal controls over how that money was used. They were supposed to make sure the funds were used for eligible activities, that the costs were allowable under federal guidelines, and that the spending happened within the designated time frame.
And failing to comply with those grant terms can have serious consequences, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Sure.
They could have to pay back the money, they could be barred from receiving future grants, and it could trigger more scrutiny from federal agencies.
Not good. The 2023 report also mentions non-compliance with the reporting requirements for the coronavirus state and local fiscal recovery funds. What happened there?
Basically, they misclassified some payments to subrecipients on their quarterly reports, and their second quarter report was submitted late. So again, it's about following the rules and procedures and making sure everything is documented correctly.
And then there's this issue with the fees for Oklahoma medical marijuana compliance certificates. This seems to be a recurring problem.
Yeah, it shows up in both the 2021 and 2023 reports. The auditors found that the county was charging these fees on top of the fees already required by the state, and there wasn't a clear legal basis for these additional fees.
So it's like they were double dipping.
In a way.
Mm-hmm.
And the auditors were concerned that this was essentially a way of generating revenue without proper authorization.
What did the county have to say about that?
They claimed they were acting on the advice of the district attorney. But in the 2023 report, they did say they had stopped collecting the fee.
So they kind of backed down.
They did. But the auditors maintained that even with the DA's advice, those fees weren't explicitly authorized by state law.
Interesting. Okay, moving on. There was also a finding in the 2023 report about how the county was handling payments and the whole process of encumbering funds.
Right. Finding 2023-099 basically says they weren't encumbering funds in a timely manner as required by state law. We're talking about over $521,000 across six different payments.
And remind me again, why is it so important to encumber those funds promptly?
It's all about making sure you have enough money set aside before you commit to spending it. It's about responsible budgeting and avoiding overspending.
Right. And the auditors recommended they tighten up their internal controls around the payment process.
Exactly. They need to make sure funds are encumbered on time, that there are proper review procedures in place, and that they're strictly adhering to state purchasing laws.
Makes sense. Now, one last thing. These reports repeatedly mention issues with how the county manages its fixed assets and its consumable inventories.
Yeah, that's another recurring finding, and it seems like there are some basic problems with accountability and record keeping. We're talking about things like missing or improperly labeled items, discrepancies in inventory records, and even some offices not filing their required annual fixed asset reports.
So it's about knowing what you have, where it is, and what condition it's in.
Precisely. And the auditors have stressed the importance of following state laws and implementing better internal controls to safeguard these assets.
Now, it's important to remember that these audit reports aren't just a list of problems. They also include the county's responses to each of these findings.
Right. In the appendices, you'll find their detailed responses outlining the steps they plan to take to address the issues. For example, they've talked about improving their risk assessment and monitoring processes, developing better controls for grant management, ensuring timely encumbrance of funds, and strengthening their fixed asset management practices.
So at least they're acknowledging the problems and saying they're going to fix them.
That's the first step. But of course, the real test is whether they actually follow through on those plans.
Exactly. So as we wrap up this deep dive into the Pottawatomie County audit reports, what are the key takeaways for our listeners?
I'd say the biggest thing is to understand that the county operates under a unique set of accounting rules. And we've seen that they have some consistent challenges when it comes to internal controls, especially around risk assessment and monitoring. We've also seen specific instances of noncompliance with grant requirements and some questionable practices around fee collection.
And there are those persistent issues with managing fixed assets and inventories.
Right. It's all about accountability and making sure taxpayer dollars are being used responsibly and effectively.
Absolutely. Now, even though these reports might seem a little dry at first glance, they actually provide a really valuable window into how our local government works.
They do, and the fact that they're publicly available is so important for transparency.
And that brings us to our final thought for you today. We've seen that some of these findings have been repeated year after year. So what do you think are the underlying reasons why the county might be struggling to implement these changes? Is it a lack of resources? Is it pushback from certain departments? Is it just plain inertia? It's something to ponder because ultimately it's about making sure our local government is functioning effectively and serving the needs of the community.
It's a great question, and it really highlights the importance of staying informed and engaged with what's happening at the local level. These audit reports are a fantastic resource, and they're available to everyone. So go check them out and see for yourself what you think.
And that's it for this deep dive. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, everyone.